This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Hide and seek on Joy 94.9. Big thanks to the Chicks Talking Footy. You're with myself, Tim Little, and I'm joined by Andrew Thorpe, aka The Apprentice.
G'day, Tiger.
Welcome back after your holiday.
Yes, you know, sometimes life gets in the road of doing some Joy stuff, so that's over now. So back here in Hide and Seek.
Must be in love, but it's over now. Sorry, I just got excited in my head.
No, pure work stuff. That was all.
And what else have you been up to? Enjoying summer.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's been like, it was before Christmas since I've been here. So, yes, enjoying summer. Haven't got any suntan though, but you know.
You've got a moon tan going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self tonight. We are talking about sex and disability.
That's right.
Which is a topic that we don't really talk about very often.
No, we've covered it a couple of times over the years I've been here at Hide and Seek. We're going to be chatting with our guest Grant tonight about his experiences. And so tune in and make sure you get involved.
Absolutely. But right now,
playing Melbourne's most uplifting music mix. Joy 94.9.
You're with David.
That wasn't the hide and seek news theme. No. It actually says hide and seek news theme. Right. Amazing.
Pull that down.
Thanks, David. HIV activist crowned at 2017 at Mr. Gay New Zealand. A HIV positive advocate has been named this year's Mr. Gay New Zealand for raising community awareness around the virus. He's a very, very handsome man, Mr. Charlie Treadway. He beat out 9 other finalists to the win and will now represent the country at the Mr. Gay World Finals in Spain later this year. He works with the New Zealand AIDS Foundation as a community engagement officer and was announced as the winner during the big gay out in Auckland over the weekend. And he said he was just really overwhelmed. Never in a million years did he think he would win. But thankfully, the community got behind him and he's actually run out of words, which is very unlike him.
Very good. Congratulations to Charlie.
Congrats, Charlie.
Now, there's been a new survey done. It's really the world's first survey about the benefits and risks of chest binding, which has been conducted by the Binding Health Project at the Boston University. They've surveyed 1,800 people. Of course, chest binding involves the flattening of the chest using items such as bandages, sports bras, or other commercial chest binders, most often for by trans men. Now, the results of the survey showed that binding is a daily occurrence for a vast majority of survey respondents. Generally, they've been they're binding about 10 hours a day. Over 97% of respondents say they have experienced at least one negative health outcome from binding, including pain, overheating, and shortness of breath, with a small number even reporting rib fractures. Survey respondents who used chest binders were also reported that they did not seek advice from their doctor, even though they were in pain, because they really suspected that the practitioners would not know about binding. The researcher said, "My impression is awareness of binding is relatively low in the medical community." So the Binding Health Project wants to empower trans people and their doctors about safe knowledge about safe binding, and recommend that, if possible, you have some days off here every now and then, and avoid things like bandages, cling wrap, and duct tape.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes.
And I'm sure a lot of people do that. So
yeah,
listen up,
particularly
people.
If they can't afford the commercial binders that are available.
Wow. And Green Senator Janet Rice, the Senate has delivered a consensus report on the government's draft exposure marriage equality bill, providing a path for marriage equality to happen in this parliament. Now, this unprecedented show of collaboration, negotiation and consensus has given us a way forward to achieve marriage equality in this parliament, said Senator Janet Rice, Australian Greens LGBTIQ spokesperson and member of the committee. Now, the Greens took to the table a respect for the rights of people of faith, but we did not waver in our views that these may not be at the expense of the rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex Australians. So what does that mean, Andrew?
So the Select Committee on the Exposure Draft of the Marriage Amendment Same-Sex Marriage Bill, which included Liberal, Labor, Greens, Nick Xenophon and Darren Hinch, had some consensus around some issues. So creating a new category of independent religious celebrants to cater for those people with religious beliefs who want to who do not want to engage with marriage, not introducing new religious freedoms or conscientious objection provisions, and anti-discrimination laws should be reviewed for a better balance of freedom of and from religion. So that report's been released this afternoon or this evening in the parliament. So there's a bit of chatter happening on a range of the news sites that this may lead to some further debates in the coalition in particular about whether or not they will allow a free vote.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Have your say. Share your thoughts. Connect with your community. Email onair at joy.org.au. SMS 0427 joy949.
Hide and seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. You're with myself, Tim Little, and Andrew the Apprentice, and we are joined by Grant.
Hello.
Hello, Grant.
How are you going?
Very well. Now, you've joined us a few times over the years, but we're going to be touching on something a little bit different tonight, and that is disability and sexuality.
Yes.
And, well, disability and sex more specifically, I guess. Can you tell us a little bit about your physical impairment?
Yep.
If you want to, if that's how we call it.
Well, for a long time, I didn't like the term disability.
Yes.
And I insisted it was called a mobility impairment. I was about 8 years old when I was diagnosed with a condition called Perthes disease. And basically, to sum it up, is the blood circulation doesn't flow through the head of the femur, which is in your hip, correctly, and the bone decalcifies and collapses upon the weight of the body, and you wind up in a body cast from your neck to your toes and many years on crutches.
And you're in your early 30s?
Yes.
And you've already had a hip replacement.
Yeah, so Perthes is one of those conditions that, if treated early enough and caught early enough, most people don't have issues later on in life. Unfortunately, while I was in my plaster cast. I had several growth spurts, which led to multiple complications later on in life, and I was kind of practically immobile by the time I was 28. So when I was 30, I had a total hip replacement, but the damage was kind of a little bit too late, and I've had to have several surgeries since then just to try and stabilize it.
And how did you manage sex with something severe like that?
For a long time, I think I was afraid to actually admit that I had a problem, and that there was difficulty around sex. I guess being young with a disability, I felt there was some shame around having a disability and moving around, and to then acknowledge that in a sexual environment, I found it even more daunting, but in a way that had a negative effect, because I found myself compromising my own health for the enjoyment of others rather than the enjoyment of myself. And I found myself pushing past situations and hurting myself more.
Because hip thrusting is part of sex, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's kind of one of those things that try and think of something to do that doesn't involve hip movement, and you start to have to think very creatively.
What are some of the creative ways that you've managed it?
Well, I think in a way, one of the things that I've started to think less of is the actual penetration side of sex, and more the different toys that are available, different positions. Slings. There's much more to sex than the actual act of penetration, and even just physical touch and intimacy has just as much effect as penetration.
Why do you think that sex isn't really spoken about in the context of disability very often?
When I think about sex, first thing that goes into my head is sex ed in schools. And I guess as a kid, sex is kind of a bit of a taboo topic. You giggle about it, you laugh about it. You add disability onto that, and it's just magnified. People laugh about disabilities. They think it's the worst thing that can actually happen. Yeah. And derogatory terms can be used around disabilities as well. And yeah, to have them both happening at the same time then just creates this idea that perhaps people with disabilities don't even have sex.
And it would be, I'm assuming, that yourself included, you can't necessarily go out for sex either all the time. So you've got to call it in.
Yeah, it kind of, it can be, buzzkill isn't the right word, but certainly more planning has to go into to things, which can be a little bit annoying, and that can be why talking about sex and disabilities is a little bit harder, because you can't be as spontaneous as you used to, especially someone like myself. My condition is degenerative, so the older I get, the worse it gets, which means something that I could do 5 years ago doesn't mean that I can do it tomorrow. So it's a constant learning process for me, and it's something that I have to continuously speak about.
So we're here on Hide and Seek. We're chatting with Grant about disability and sex. Now, if you are having a gentleman caller, how much do you disclose beforehand?
Previously, as I mentioned, I had a bit of shame behind it, and I wouldn't disclose things, but I found that backfired a lot of the time. So now I've tried to be extremely open about it. It hasn't always gone smoothly, even being open about it. But I'd much rather have someone not come round than come round and then it be awkward later.
And is it kind of like coming out a second time.
It is, actually. It's kind of, I guess, again, it has that stigma to it of going, oh, yeah, I kind of want to have sex, but I have a disability, or I can't quite do what you want or what I want, and we have to negotiate and plan this out. And
what has been some of the reactions that you've received so far?
I've had some people, and they've been really understanding of the condition, and understood what my limitations were, what I could do, what I couldn't do, and through constant, not necessarily verbal communication, but just a constant connection and understanding throughout the evening, negotiated our way through the night and had an amazing time. Other times I have unfortunately been in the situation where I've gone on dates and then hooked up with someone, and I've thought that they've understood and they haven't, and kind of backfires.
So what would be your word of advice to someone, the other person you were engaging with online?
Have an open mind. I think people jump to conclusions a lot when they hear, whether it be mobility impairment or disability, they go straight to, I don't even know where they go to. They kind of just go to this worst of the worst, bedridden, can barely communicate, kind of all those stereotypes, I guess, that we learnt as children. But there's such a big spectrum, and quite often people don't take that into consideration, and perhaps they should just talk about it rather than making an assumption about what disability the person might have.
Because, I mean, you know, guys on crutches or in wheelchairs are going to have pretty buff chests, aren't they? Well, so they can, you know, swing from chandeliers. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like one of the things, even when it comes to wheelchair users, they think that someone in a wheelchair during sex is just going to lie there like a starfish, whereas they can probably bench press you. So you never know, kind of chandeliers could be involved, swinging back and forth. But yeah, until you actually ask the question, ask them out, you're not ever going to actually experience a different level of sex, really.
Are there any cool moves you can do in a wheelchair that you couldn't otherwise do before? My mind is racing.
I have seen a fair few comics of people in wheelchairs having sex, just illustrations and things like that. And some people have come up with some very inventive ideas.
Yeah.
Whether the laws of gravity allow for it, I'm not 100% sure.
Random thought, is there disability porn?
Of course there is.
Have you watched any? I'm just intrigued.
I actually haven't. I'm
going to go home tonight and find it.
Well, there seems to be something of everything online, exactly. So it wouldn't surprise me.
There has to be somewhere.
And what's the rule of the internet? If you can't find it, you actually have to make it. So
There you go.
There's a niche market for you, Grant. This is Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. We are talking about sex and disability tonight. If you want to get in touch with us, this is how you do it.
Have your say, share your thoughts, connect with your community. Email onair at joy.org.au. SMS 0427 joy 949.
Hide and seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. You're with myself, Tim Little, and Andrew the Apprentice.
And we are chatting with Grant about sex and disability.
And we've been talking a lot about sex, but we haven't really discussed dating.
Not too much, no.
Not too much. So there's some do's and don'ts, I hear, Grant.
Yeah, there's a couple of do's and don'ts about a lot of things sitting out there.
So I want to ask a wheelchair user out, but I'm afraid I'll scare them off, is one particular concern. And it says, true, you may scare them off, so don't hang around waiting for a relationship that will never happen. Go ahead and ask them out. I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
And obviously, people in wheelchairs have a range of different disabilities. And we did find the Dating Paraplegics, the ultimate guide, online. So this is where we're getting some of our stuff from. Of course, paraplegics... can have a range of disabilities depending on where the fractures are and that sort of thing.
Yep. So there's with spinal cord injuries, there's generally what's referred to as an incomplete or a complete injury, which basically just means the level of damage and the amount of signals that are coming through the nerves. And what a lot of people don't realise is that most people with an incomplete injury are able to get erections. Women, disabled women are still able to have children. Men are still able to have sex and have kids. It's just the way they go about having sex rather than...
So have you chatted to other people about who have disabilities about sex? To get their ideas and you know,
yeah, I've had a few conversations with people about sex, not necessarily with individuals about their own sex life, but with some of the organisations out there that help communicate around the topic of sex and disabilities and what some of the challenges are that face people.
And that might be a nice little segue. So one of the reasons why we're chatting to you tonight is because there is, you had alerted us to a disability sexuality expo happening on the 24th of February.
Yes.
What have you found out about that?
So oddly enough, you guys had asked me onto the show before I even knew about
this.
Oh,
there we go. Yes.
And as I mentioned earlier, sex and disability is not something that's spoken about, I think, to the degree that it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing research and trying to understand what it was like for a lot of people with a disability to find information, I came across the Sex Ed Up Disability Expo, and I just thought it was really great because they actually cover intellectual disabilities, physical disabilities, LGBTIQ issues around sex and disability, and they've got some great panelists from all over Australia. So
Sex Ed Up Expo is for adults living with a disability, their partners, family, current and future health and community and disability sector workers, and those with a broader interest in the area. Lots of discussions, panel discussions about, you know, also education sessions, policy development to improve, enable and enhance this often unacknowledged aspect of people's lives. So it's been organised by a group called Stabilise.
Yes.
We will put a link up on our social media pages about that, but Sexed Up Expo, SexedUp.com.
That's the one.
Andrew has a disability at the moment, that's spelling. And we'd just like to read a message out. Hi, boys. Loving the talk and your honesty. Personally, I'd have no problem with a guy with a disability. Example, Kurt Fearnley and Dylan Alcott. And both two guys are definitely swing from a chandelier from.
Yeah, both those guys are amazing when it comes to disability advocacy. One of my favourite TED Talks is actually from Dylan Alcott. He was talking about some of the stigma he experienced as a child especially in social situations, going to parties and being invited to things with a disability. And what was so profound about it was people didn't ask him because they assumed he couldn't do things.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing about even when we were mentioning dating someone with a disability, one of the saddest things about the word disability is it kind of conveys this idea that you can't do something, and so much focus is placed on what someone can't do rather than what they can do.
Sure. And have you experienced any of that yourself in terms of social engagements?
I think a lot of the barriers I've put on myself in a way.
Sure.
Because I'm aware of where my own limitations are. However, in saying that, there certainly have been times when social engagements have been set up over the time where, say, picnics in parks, maybe a hike or something like that, and there may be lunches or things involved either side of it, but I'm faced with the logistical issue of how do I get there, where do I park, and how do I actually get to the place at the end of the day?
Sure.
And there are some of those, the things that kind of pop up that aren't necessarily limits I put on myself, but just due to accessibility issues across the state, then limit people from engaging in.
And it must be mentally draining to have to think about all these things all the time. It must be exhausting.
Yeah, it's almost as if you've got to micromanage every single part of your life, and you're going, okay. In someone like my position, I feel pain. I feel a lot of pain on a day-to-day basis, and pain in itself is extremely fatiguing. And when it comes to pain management, one of the things they talk about is pacing. And when it comes to pacing, you're going, okay, if I'm going to do my laundry, I'm just going to do one basket of laundry, because I know if I do anything more than that, I'm going to tire myself out and not be able to do anything else for the day. So you find yourself micromanaging everything from cooking, cleaning, going out, and that's why sex can be a difficult thing to negotiate as well, especially if you've got pain management that's tied into that. Because if you are doing a lot of activities earlier on in the day and then someone proposes sex, you're suddenly going, I'm done.
You've used up your fatigue.
It's like, sorry, honey, I'm not in the mood right now.
so just on that, give us an example about how today for you was different, knowing you were coming here as opposed to what would have been yesterday.
So today I spent a lot more time just working on the couch. So instead of being active and doing, I've got a pile of laundry, and I just did, as I mentioned, single basket of laundry. I did a lot of my work from a laptop and lying on a couch.
Yep.
And just made sure that I didn't spend too much time moving around, because I knew I had to come in here. I knew parking was going to be an issue, so I had to catch a tram in and travel that distance. Yeah. So I just had to take that into consideration.
So do you make that kind of preparation for sex as well? Do you think, I can only do, blowjobs for, a minute, and kind of thinking ahead?
Yeah, so sex is something that I definitely have to think about more. I will plan not only the activities leading up to it, so just my work and domestic duties and all of that stuff. I'll also have to take into consideration pain management.
Sure.
But one of the things that play into it a lot more is, again, not focusing on necessarily penetration and just going, I can still have sex, I can still have fun with sex, and I'm sure I can give someone the time of their life using things that aren't attached to me.
So, for example, kink play. A lot of kink play doesn't involve penetration. So have you expanded your repertoire in that arena?
My repertoire in that arena, I guess, has changed a little bit.
Okay.
It's certainly something that has expanded, but more so in, I think I actually enjoy watching other people's pleasure more so than myself, because it takes me out of my own physical limitations and what I can't do, and I'm really focusing on the other person, the enjoyment that they're having, and just the connection that I have from that, rather than what I'm physically getting out of it as
sure.
such.
Are there certain types of kink play that you're enjoying more now that you're in this situation?
Well, I've been on this show before talking about sounding before, so that's something that I've still continued to enjoy. But I think I actually enjoy even just the simplicity of touch. So the different sensations I get from touch and reactions and body temperature and things like that, I've been enjoying. Purely because, again, it gets me out of my own body in a way, and I'm focusing on external factors.
Sure.
You think you know all there is to know about Joyce Ponsonberry Street, don't you? Okay, smarty pants. Did you know they've been around since 1877? They provide safe homes to traumatized children and young people and vocational training and educational programs. Although Perry Street recently came out in support of marriage equality. Yes! Get to know Perry Street and all the work that they do this midsummer at Carnival Day on Sunday, January 15. Visit the Perry Street stall and learn how easy it is to become a foster carer or the programs they have in place to support kids in need. Authorised and spoken by celebrity supporter Dolly Diamond, Victoria, Australia.
Joy 94.9.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. You're with myself, Tim Little, and we're with Andrew the Apprentice.
Yes.
And Grant tonight, talking about sex and disability.
I'm trying to blow out the cobwebs. I've been here for 2 months.
It's like, who are you? Why are you sitting there?
You wrap your tongue around so many things so well.
Not the words, though. Grant, now, wanted to touch on a couple of other things. Just practicality things outside of sex. And now, you've mentioned a couple of times the problems with accessibility around the city, for example, and coming into the station tonight. So what are some of the issues for somebody with a disability in regards to accessibility?
Some of the issues that are out there... parking is a big one for me.
Right.
It's current rules and regulations kind of almost indicate if a disabled spot isn't available, then suddenly the disability disappears and you're forced to kind of work within the rules and regulations of each council.
So each council runs their own, is it?
There's... Vic Roads kind of have their suggested rules, but each council can view it slightly differently, which is, unfortunately, Vic Roads have acknowledged that there is a big problem with that. They've been acknowledging that on their website for about 4 or 5 years. However, the scheme, there's actually an Australian disability parking scheme, which New South Wales, Queensland... have applied, which is remarkably better than the current one in Victoria. So there's that. Other issues, not every single tram and tram stop is accessibility friendly, meaning that you may have to wait an hour for an accessible train, as opposed to a train every 10 minutes. And when you've got a disability, and I touched on micromanaging a lot of things earlier, an hour to wait extra for a tram, or if you've got to go an extra few blocks to get to an accessibility stop, can completely throw out your entire day's planning and your management of your condition.
Is it easy to find out which stops are accessible? Can you do that like on an app before you...
So it's something that Yarra Trams are starting to get much better at, and Tram Tracker and all of that will say which trams are accessible. Cool. So, yeah, there are starting to be some good changes, and I know that some councils are even combining stops to put accessible stops in between.
Yep.
What about in terms of going to, say, a sauna? Do they make that wheelchair accessible?
To be honest, I've not tried. My gut instinct is that it's not going to be accessible.
No.
And in a way, just you saying that brings up a lot of fear in me. Not just from the accessibility point of view, but to put myself in front of people in that situation.
Sure.
I'd be concerned about stigma around
disabilities
and abilities. Yeah.
And running through my head, I can't think of that they would be that accessible.
No. Especially going through a rat maze in the dark.
Exactly.
That probably wouldn't. Well, even some apartments and housing, you can go to this apartment and there'll be lifts everywhere and ramps everywhere except for a flight of stairs into the property. And you're just going, how does this make sense? And you're just going, oh, wait, no, you've got to go around the back into the car park and then up the... service elevator or something, and you're just going, seriously?
So if you go to meet up with someone, do you plan that part ahead to make sure that it is accessible for you?
I've generally done the come to my place.
Yeah.
Just because I've had embarrassing situations where I've been having some fun and my legs kind of locked into a 90-degree position and I've been unable to... move it without excruciating pain, and I just smiled, continued my way through it, and then just lay there and slowly moved my leg back into a normal position after it jumped in the shower and just going, hey, just give me a minute, I'll be there a second. Give me a second.
I was actually screaming in orgasm, but it was agony.
Now, we are going to mention that one thing you are doing is actually looking to get a wheelchair.
Yes.
And so you have... you are asking for some public support around that. So we're going to put all that info up on our social media pages later today or tomorrow.
Definitely.
Very much.
So, yes, but it's all going very well so far.
Yeah, yeah.
But part of that is it's difficult to purchase. I mean, they must be expensive.
Yeah, it's... some wheelchairs can be the cost of a small car.
Right.
wow.
And... one of the things, the NDIS is coming into a lot of areas, but that is a slow rollout. And unfortunately, I'm caught in a suburb where the existing scheme is slowly being kind of, well, is being replaced by the NDIS in the next year or so. But it means that the current scheme is also taxed, meaning, as far as time goes, meaning that it could take me up to a year and a half to get any percentage of government grant towards a wheelchair.
Okay.
So what are the changes meaning for people with the NDIS?
The NDIS kind of works in several kind of dramatically different ways. One of the key ways is more about self-management of disabilities. So allowing people to access, for example, sporting equipment that currently isn't funded by any form. So if you want to get into a disabled sport, there's no kind of real support except for hiring services like Disability Sport and Rec. So it's going to help with that, but it's also going to help with people self-managing excesses for doctors, physios, and just some of the essential services that there's currently a big gap in.
Do you reckon you'll be able to claim additional kink sex toys that you require for disability-enabled sex?
I'm
and chandeliers.
And chandeliers.
That is that is one thing I've not looked into, but you've got my mind running with a lot of ideas now. It's just like...
Well, maybe also...
As Dynabolts from the ceiling?
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. Yep. Rather than the safety rail, you need the restructuring of the ceiling. Reinforcing of the ceiling. Now, and maybe this is, as we mentioned before, there is a Disability Sexuality Expo happening on the 24th of February. Maybe you can ask the question there.
Yeah.
The Sex Ed Up, Disability Sexuality Expo. Sex Ed Up, SEXEDUPSEXPO. .com. And okay, we'll put those links on our social media pages in the next day or so. That's about time we've got time for.
It is. Tim? And I do have to say a big thank you to Cody in St Kilda East for donating towards Joy. They made a donation of $5. So thank you very much.
Don't forget, all donations of $5, multiples of $5, put you into the draw to win the prize to go to Mardi Gras.
Wow.
The draw closes on Friday evening, so make sure you donate $5, $10, as many times as you can. All $5 donations equal one entry, so do that. Thanks to Virgin and Go Get and Airbnb. Now, we've got to head off, Tim.
We do. We've got a big show next week, though.
We do have a big show next week. We have porn stars in the room with us.
I know. I'm doing two shows in a row just so I can meet the porn stars.
So join us next week. A big thank you to David for all of our podcasts. And coming up next is Indie Heads with Declan. That's been Hide and Seek for another night.
We will catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hide and Seek. Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.